Anyway, welcome. First off, I'd like to give my appreciation and thanks to some of the people from our office that helped put this together. First off, this morning, helping out the desk out here, Peggy Law, she's from our mapping division. Lynn Dakota, who's not here, helped with the arrangements and getting the hotel set up. She's out of our management services division. Eileen Bigelbauer, now she's not here today either because I think she's back in the home resting from all the work she did. She handled all the registrations that you sent in, helped with the printing of the agenda, creating the badges, a lot of the behind the scenes tasks that needed to put one of these events on. And so my appreciation goes out to Eileen. Doing a great job. And we have Howard Hua from the Computer Systems Group helping us with our electronics and laptop, and any of you that need assistance for hooking up today, he'll be more than happy to help you out. And above all, a special thanks to my main assistant, Andrea Trevino. Number of tasks, I can't even number them all, but some key things. She was the primary person responsible for putting together your appreciation packages, the bags and the cups and the little goodies. She also helped to get the gifts for the speakers that we'll have. And above all, for setting up this evening's social get-together, which is at Gulliver's. If you go out of the hotel, make a right, it's about 2 and a half blocks down. On the right is Gulliver's at 6 o'clock. We have the hors d'oeuvres set up, no host bar. So you're all welcome, and I hope everybody shows up because we've arranged for a fair amount of food. Anyway, once again, thank you all. And before we really get into the business, I'd like to introduce the officers for this current year, for 2005. With one or two people that may not know me, my name is George Eaches. I'm the current president. And I'm from Orange County. The vice president and soon to be president, Ula Krishwadakir. That close? Thank you. Our past president, who was unable to make it down, Cindy Phillips from Napa County. Our secretary, who unfortunately couldn't make it either, Denise Tober from Amador County. Our treasurer, Brent Eastland, San Bernardino. And our information officer, Jim Isbell. Now, my first order of business, now that you know we don't have a secretary, is I need the secretary for today. Take some form of minutes. Do I have a volunteer? Oh, geez, I don't know who to pick from here with all the hands on here. Okay, that's really not a problem. I'm multitasking, I can handle all that stuff. When you read the minutes, ignore them. Okay, what I'd like to do is start out first with our roll call, see who's here, and I'm going to do this a little different than in prior years. I'm going to go down and just name the counties that are supposed to be here, and please acknowledge that you're here, and you stand up and introduce yourself, and whoever else may have come with you. Alpine.
Carter, Chief Assessment Office Specialist. Actually, the one.
Calaveras County. Fresno. Let's see. Fresno. Sorry.
Dan Sparks, Assessment Services Supervisor, and
Dave King, the mapping supervisor.
Kern County.
Randy Worley, Supervisor of the Mapping Section, and Jim as well.
Me again.
Coons.
Ed and Brewer.
Jocelyn Berry. Castro J.S. Technician
They changed it to a hall of fame.
Moving target. Los Angeles County.
Yes, Emilio Solano, Chief Council Engineer, Get Engineer Group.
Nora Magalich, Assistant Chief. Stan Young, Supervisor Survey Mapping Condition.
There's one more on the way, probably stuck in traffic.
And he lives down this way. Madera.
Kirk Randles, National Mapper 2.
Marin.
Nancy, Joe French, Cadastral Mapping Tech, just myself.
Mono.
Pete Eilertson, Cadastral Mapping Spec, Transfer Analyst.
Nevada.
Nancy Wayne, Senior Mapping Tech.
Day one, mapping one. We're always in front row.
And from Orange County.
Bill Price, manager of Golds Park. I'll let you guys introduce yourself.
David Snapperman, senior cadastral graphic tech. Bill, CNET cadastral.
Everybody who's doing it, CNET cadastral tech.
Marquito, senior cadastral technician service.
On the lead section, supervised way.
Thank you. And Placer.
Assessment supervisor, Tashi Shankar, assessment supervisor, and
Marcela Ganea, cadastral technician too.
Riverside.
Doug Vieira, chief GI specialist. I have Jason Santos, supervisor GI specialist, and Ted Cronin, he's my senior GIS analyst.
Sacramento.
Anita Topic, supervisor, cadastral mapping tech, and two seniors.
Yes, sir.
San Benito.
Joe Corrales, Bureau Mapping Specialist.
San Bernardino.
Rick Kiesler, Mapping Supervisor, and I have Rufy.
Rufy?
She didn't want to introduce herself. Ruby Murphy, she's the National Graphic Tech 3.
Sam Joaquin.
I'm Dean Watson. I'm the Chief Cadastral Technician.
Jose Molina, Cadastral Tech 2.
San Francisco.
Joe Wittenberg, Natural Mapping and System Specialist.
Gloria Sarah, same time.
San Mateo.
Ming, the Senior Drop Intel.
Santa Barbara.
Jared Dawson, Mapping Technician Chief. We declared a mapper's holiday, so I have the entire staff here. And you're all mapping technicians, and they can introduce themselves.
Paulo Russo, Mapping Tech.
Nicole McCoy.
Cesar Drilli.
Sandy Daniela.
Dwayne Gallup.
Sam Clare.
Sal Moran, mapping supervisor, and I have Mary Quinn and Juan Al, we're mapper crews.
Santa Cruz.
Gula Vista Belde, senior GIS analyst, Sam Basinger, GIS tech crew.
Shasta.
Jim McCrolla, program manager, mapping transfer division.
Sonoma.
This is what's like a bar department. I'm Reza, and I'm a cadastral mapping tech too.
Same title, the Lorenzo, and Kimbalachi.
Stanislaus.
Cynthia Schmidt, mapping supervisor.
Sutter.
Steve Perry, the map guy.
Sarai.
Good morning. Ken Swearin, Cadastral Supervisor.
Is there any county that I missed that's here?
And you.
Thank you. Any other county on this but you. Okay. Thank you all again. And now I'd like to have some quick updates from a couple of our officers. Brent, you tell us how we're standing financially and whether we have to slip out the back door. Or
good morning. I'll get that check out to you for that refund there for on that San Bernardino or that San Diego thing. So get that check out. You know, we did real well this year. The fact that we kept the registration down to $75 this year really helped out because as the years have gone by, after each conference, we seem to have a little bit more money in the bank to pay for a little more items. So it was good that we were able to keep the registration down to 75 this year. We brought in about $6,600, and looks like we're going to spend about $6,100. So we'll have a little bit of profit about $500. So next year's conference, Billy, you're going to have some money to spend. So you know, so feel free. So anyway, I'll post this on the website after the conference, so everybody can take a look to see how we did. Thank you very much.
And what's gotten to be real important is our website and the use of it. And I've noticed that it's really gone up. And now Jim, up here, and give us a little update of how it's looking.
Hello, everyone. I've been looking at our website lately, and it looks like it's getting due for a redesign. So there's one more thing I've got to find time to do. There's probably one or two things I still have to post on there that I just haven't had time to do yet. So you, whoever you are out there that hasn't seen it up there yet, just keep waiting. It'll happen. And Brett, do you remember if I submitted the costs for the website this year?
No, you're not.
Okay, I have your bill right here.
Okay, I'll have a check for you.
And as George was saying, I've been real happy to see all these emails flying through to members at calmapping.org. So it seems like we finally got our email thing going. So I think it's the more people I get on there, then the more people want to use it because they know those emails are going somewhere. So I still got a ways to go there to get more people, more counties represented. But seems like everyone I call, they want me to sign them right up. So looks like it's happening pretty good.
You're doing a great job, though.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you're doing a great job. And you can see the importance of keeping it up to date. So when you have new people changing emails, phone numbers, and so forth, we really appreciate it to send the updates to Jim so he can keep the directories current. And primarily the email file. I know when I was sending some emails related to this conference, I was pleasantly surprised. There was only about five or so that came back as invalid or something, never heard of them, things of that nature. Anyway, thanks a lot, Jim. Great. Okay. We'll just go over there, and then I can read. All right, now we're doing real. Hello, there we go. Top dollar equipment. Wow. Moving along a little quicker than I anticipated, which is maybe good. Gula, do you have anything you'd like to say as Vice President?
Not really. I've been resting on my laurels and not done a thing about anything in this organization all year, but I'm ready for next year.
Okay, great. Cool. We'll hear more from her. I'll have a little bit of time tomorrow when we're wrapping things up to hype up Santa Cruz County. I'm pleased to have some vendors here. We're running a little bit ahead of schedule, which is a little unusual, but anyway, I'd like to introduce, starting with ESRI. Tim, you want to introduce yourself and say what toys you got back there.
I'm Tim Craig, and Rob Field, also with me here today. I cover the San Diego area. A lot of the local Orange County representative. So we've got a number of brochures, and I'd like to talk with you all about what you're doing with your disaster and what you may or may not be doing with GIS.
Thanks, Tim. And it's glad, because we didn't have a lot of vendors, we made it real simple to be able to have it in the back of the room. So at your leisure, breaks and everything else, be sure to stop around and talk to them, pick up their brochures and find out what their latest things are. From HP? Yes?
I'm Todd Stevens. Work with our public sector team, specifically with our Design Jet product. And we're here showcasing our Design Jet 4000 today. We have products, as you know, that range from $1,000 all the way up to $20,000. So depending how small or large your county is, you have that jumbo jet. So definitely come by, and we happy to talk to each and every one of you today about our current Design Jet solutions.
Do you have a little presentation for him?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Howard, thank you. Bobby's setting up. What can I say? You can think about, for those that may be in the back of their minds thinking about that they may want to host this some year. It is fun. It doesn't take as many people as you think, but it does take two or three devoted people to spend a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot of time, but if you stay on top of things, it can be done. And it's a lot of fun, really, in the end. I think it's an honor to host this conference.
So yeah, this is our Design Jet product portfolio. As I mentioned, we have products that range from $1,000 up to about $20,000. So if you're looking for a solution just for individual use.
Can you use the mic, please?
Excuse me?
Can you use the mic?
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for a solution that's just for personal use, we have solutions, for example, our Design Jet 100 series. If you're a small work group or a medium work group, but have low volume as well, but you need maybe a solution that's 42 inches in width, we have our Design Jet 800 and our Design Jet 500 series. As you start to get into more productivity, we have, of course, our 1000 series that has been in our portfolio for quite some time now. And there are, as I mentioned earlier, our new 4000 series, which we're showcasing here today. What we found is many of our current 1000 series customers have been transitioning over to our 4000 series. We launched our 4000 series in February of this year. In addition to kind of round out our versatile printers or our technical market printers, we have our MFP products, our large format MFP solutions, which are for customers that not only need large format printing, but large format scanning as well. So we have our 815 MFP and our 4200 scanner there. We have, kind of cuts off a little bit there, but we have our photography and graphic solutions that are also been popular in the GIS space. So, particularly our Design Jet 130, which we launched earlier this year as well, which is a 24-inch platform, under $2,000, gives you the best image quality that we produce at a 24-inch platform. So for some of the smaller counties, it's been really popular as well. And then lastly, our Design Jet 5500 series, which is our flagship product. It's a six-color solution. Many of our 1000 series customers as well, the 1050, 1055 customers out there, have started to transition over to our 5500 series over the years.
Very good.
And then lastly, since we are showcasing the Design Jet 4000 today, just some quick information on that. Our 1000 series 1050 and 1055 has been the standard for the technical market for the past 5 years or so. With the 4000, we like to refer to the 4000 as the new standard for the GIS market and technical market. It uses black pigment ink, similar to all of our technical printers, to ensure accurate and quality lines. 42 inches in width, so it's a little bit wider than the standard 1050 series. Has an embedded web server, which gives you the capability of not only sending files via the web, but also the ability to for job accounting, checking how much ink and media you're using with each individual print job. we have a PostScript and non-PostScript solution, so depending on what your needs are with PostScript. And then it's also our most productive solution that we have in our portfolio. How we've been able to achieve the increase in speed, and we've doubled the print speed from our 1000 series to our 4000. How we've been able to do that is through our double swath technology. And what that means is we have 8 print heads, 4 colors, so we have 2 colors per print head. So we've actually staggered our print heads to enable us to put a larger swath down. And that's how we've been able to achieve that doubles, the 100 increase in speed. And last, it's not only the most productive solution that we have in our portfolio, but it's also the highest quality image as well. We produce up to a 2400 DPI image up for 4000. And again, last but not least, again, this product is designed for our technical market, GIS and CAD space, engineering drawings, renderings, even has the quality, obviously, to produce excellent quality aerials, which I have some images I can show you guys today. And that's pretty much it on the 4000. So again, I look forward to meeting each and every one of you. If you have questions regarding Design Jet product line, please feel free to come by and look forward to talking to you. Thank you very much.
Now, and our third vendor is located over here, is the California CAD Solutions. Morning.
Morning.
Well, we want to thank everyone, you guys, for continually having us at these mapping events. We really love them. We just got back from the assessors event and tell them about all the cool tools they need to buy you guys. So we got a little bit about California CAD Solutions for those of you that don't do business with us or don't know who we are exactly. We're a GIS company. We're located in Sacramento and in Modesto. We've opened up shop in 87. I've been with the company 8 years. And so one of the resellers that we've noticed that had a really low turnover rate, if any. So we've added to our team. Russ Douglas is here. He's going to be throwing something together as far as showing you some of the mapping tricks and tips as far as some of the tools you guys are using. There's a wide range of things that are going on with folks that are using AutoCAD. AutoCAD Map is a preferred cadastral mapping tool. Some of you guys are using ARC, GIS, MicroStation. One of the things we pride ourselves on is being a solution company, not necessarily just a software company. So, you know, with that said, there's a lot of investment and a lot of money out there being spent in other products and tools, not necessarily maybe Autodesk. So what we try to do is find ways to leverage that investment in any way we can, whether it's data integration is a slick tool that we've been working with Safe Software. We actually help develop some of the tools called FME. It's a really good data integration automation tool. Really integrates well with the Esri, the MicroStation stuff. Doesn't matter what type of data format you guys are using, databases, archive databases, just a really slick automation tool. And it's kind of like a backup. And that's one of the tools we're offering. Another tool that's really slick that we're working with is Blizzard Tech stuff. Probably a lot of you guys stuff are familiar with that. It's imagery compression, typically, is what it's been known as. But now, with GeoExpress, they're offering mosaicing, color balancing, and a lot of these other little nifty tools that are really maximizing the imagery that you guys have, and a lot of, you know, on servers and things like that. And of course, the premier mapping tool that we back is Autodesk Map. It's got a lot of great tools in there, really underused and utilized. And we host throughout the year, and we try to host more and more specific seminars at our location and at remote locations closer to you guys. So you guys can come see how these tools are being used, the newer technology. A lot of you guys are on the Autodesk subscription, as we referred to earlier as the prescription. So it's a really good way for budgeting. And budgeting is probably one of the biggest issues. And a lot of folks have a software budget, some don't. we're more and more noticing that there's not necessarily a budget for training. And so what we kind of pounded on the assessors with this week was, look, you guys need to get training budgeted for. These are things that need to be part of the budget. They can throw this great technology in front of your lap, but you guys don't have time to necessarily have play day and go look at all this new cool stuff. These seminars and things like that, seeing this stuff really helps out. And by getting an initiative on a training budget really helps plan for the use of the software. One of the things I wanted to throw out there, and I've thrown out stuff, you know, a few other seminars that we hosted and things like that, is doing a consolidated training effort, and we can do it area specific. So regionally, we cover the entire United States, and especially California. We can work with, you know, a northern region, a southern region, or even consolidate training in a hotel or a seminar. We have a mobile training lab. So we're very interested in working and doing a consolidated cadastral mappers training. And one of the things that's going to do is obviously get more people in our training, and then also get more specific to the things you guys need, and then lessen the cost and the assessors like that. So anything we can do to help and maximize on the productivity of the tools, we want to be a resource for you guys. We're partners with DLT, so all the purchasing goes through DLT Solutions. It doesn't cost anything to name us as a reseller. If you currently don't know who your reseller is, or you don't really know whether you have support or not, we'd like to be that person, that company that provides you with that support. We try to support all the cadastral mappers, conferences and shows like that. We enjoy you guys. We enjoy coming here. We enjoy buying drinks. We come to these things because it's a good excuse for us to get a free vacation. just kidding, Joe. We're just happy to be here. We're just trying to provide as much information we can, kill as much time as we can for George. We're very interested in hearing what you guys are doing with the software, what hurdles you guys are coming across. We do a lot of customization with some of the software. There's a lot of you that have custom menus, legacy applications. We're very creative, so anything that we can do to really maximize what you guys are doing, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear what hurdles you guys are coming up against. Like I said, we're a resource for lots of different things. We're also a reseller for Globe Explorer. I don't know, those of you that are working with GIS, it's a great imagery resource. Basically, you can download imagery geo-referenced into your AutoCAD map, and you buy it by view, so you prepay for a bulk, and you automatically get to download that in your views. It's really cost-effective to get imagery that's already been flown. And so a lot of folks are already buying archive imagery. It's a cheaper way to do it, and you can get it at your desktop. You don't have to make a call. You don't have to go out to RFP or anything like that. It's something, again, you can budget for, those of you that are using GIS. A couple of other tools that I know the assessors are looking at is pictometry imagery, which is really slick. It's oblique, and it's allowing folks to look at some of that stuff. We're a big proponent of that. We support those guys. So I don't know, how many of you guys are interested in some sort of consolidated training? I mean, is that something you guys would be interested in? What about seminars? And, you know, we try to do like once, twice a year, kind of two different, presentations, just kind of showing some of the new software. Has that been easy for you guys to attend to? Has that been pretty good? With Autodesk, they have kind of a plan that they're wanting to keep money coming in. So what they're doing is they have this, they're rolling out software every year, and they have, with a subscription, you get that software, but it doesn't mean necessarily you need to upgrade your systems every year, because you get set, you get your custom menu set. That next release doesn't necessarily mean you have to upgrade to it. So working with us and talking with us, we can kind of help determine, these are really going to apply and help some productivity, or no, these really aren't going to lend that much help, and it's going to be more of a headache getting IS to coordinate with that. Reiterating how much we like to be a resource for you guys. The subscription's there for budgeting. It's just really a way to keep costs down, and it's hard to justify after you've gone 2, 3, 40 years back and say, we need this much money, and all of a sudden, and it wasn't planned for. So that's why the subscription's important. We'd like to do, ideally, training contracts where we lock in a set price and we budget for that biannually or even annually if it's needed.
And then, you know, that way, again, it's budget for, it's planned for, and it's cheaper than typical taking one of our scheduled classes. And we enjoy you guys coming to those, too. So we've got, 45 minutes here?
No.
I don't know.
What do we got, George?
Maybe at least 30.
30 minutes or so? Russ is going to come up here and do a little song and dance. He brought his tapestries. So he's going to come up and show you some cool stuff and talk a little bit about some of the new features. He's our lead technician and training. A lot of you guys know him, and he's the guy that I heavily rely on. And I'm sure he's got some fun stuff to show you. Thank you, guys. We hope to see you. If you guys have any questions, we appreciate your business. And any questions you guys have, those of you that aren't working with us, stop by, drop a card off. We also have some nifty little cups and giveaways and stuff like that. So come by and say hi.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be putting this down on that stand in a minute so we won't get the crackle, crackle, crackle. That's outrageous. Okay, first thing I want to ask is, how many of you actually bought the bullet blunt out of CAT 2006 or MAP or whatever? Who's running 2006? The brave ones.
Still running it through its paces.
Still running it through its paces, Jim. Okay. All right, well, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to show you, some of you just have straight AutoCAD, some of you have MAP, some of you have LAN desktop. I'm going to just show you some of the 2006 type issues. And hopefully you'll say, oh, that's pretty cool. It's going down now. Do you work? Hello?
Yep.
There we go. I've got to do the same thing with my power supply. Hello?
No.
Hello? Hello?
No.
Hello?
No.
You know that lady was in here earlier. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be weird. I'm going to be a hunchback while we do this. But pay no attention to the man behind the computer. Just look at the screen, please. Okay, what we've got here is our AutoCAD MAP 2006. One of the first things you notice is as I move around, things highlight. Now, let me just throw a disclaimer out here. These are all new features, and some of you old folks, who's been using AutoCAD since version 12? Come on, everybody. By golly, it's the best product they ever had. Why'd they go and change it? You know, yeah, so, you know, some of us like it. Some of us don't, but it's okay. You can turn it off if you don't like it, all right? Don't get too freaked out. All right, the other, well, so as you can see, this is good. A lot of the new folks like this. Oh, I can see what it is I'm selecting. So as I move around, it'll show you what it is you need to select. Notice I'm not picking anything yet. And if I happen to do the erase command and then I come over, it's not picked until I hit it. You know, you got to click it to hit it, and then that selects it, all right? So don't worry about it. It's just a nice way, if you're way out here, to try to figure out where in the world things are, okay? And then here's another nifty little doodad right there. Anybody ever have a problem seeing what it is they were selecting? Well, those of you that couldn't figure out what was in between that rectangle, now you get a big blue square or a green square, depending. Remember, this is inside or intersects. This is completely inside, okay? So now we have colors. For those of you that just couldn't quite figure out what was in the rectangle. All right? So we've got that. And now, as we go, we can see this nifty little thing. As I click on this, of course, it tells me that this is on the lot lines layer. 2004 started coming out with the tool palettes. 2005 made them a little bit better. 2006 has made them awesome. So what I'm going to do, a lot of you guys have your own applications right now. You've all written your own utilities to click on a button and start drawing the lot line layer or, you know, something of that nature. So what I'm going to do is show you how we can go ahead and grab some of this stuff and use it quick and dirty without having to do any programming. So I'm just going to click on this line right here, going to highlight the grip, hold my left mouse button down and drag it over and paste it in there. Now I've got an icon here and I'm going to go ahead and rename this. So I've got an icon there for lot lines. I'll click on this one, the Rancho Boundary. Oh, didn't hold my mouse down. Oh, no, I've got more than one object there. There we go. And then I'll go ahead and rename this. So now what that does is it gives me the ability. Well, let's do one more here. This is the parcel land itself. Okay, so now what I've got is I can come over here and say, you know what, I need to draw a new parcel line coming off of the edge here, or maybe from the center point here. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on the parcel line, snap there, and come and draw. Okay, so I just drew a parcel line, didn't have to go do anything else. And the beauty of this is that this is now a tool palette. It's part of AutoCAD. It's not for this specific drawing. It's not for a specific project. This is AutoCAD throughout the whole drawing, through the whole system. So if I start a new drawing, come over here to a new drawing, I can click on parcel lines right here, and boom. It automatically, I got my LWTs turned on, let me turn those off. I can do my Rancho Boundary, and I can go ahead and put my lot lines in. That quick and easy. Now it's used in every drawing that I have. Oh, come on, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so we can go ahead and do that. And again, this is system-wide. Now I'm going to come back over to this window. Oh, let's just check it. See how we've got polylines? You go, but we use lines, not polylines, for our parcel lines or our lot lines. You click on that little arrow and it lets me select what I want. So maybe I do just pick on a line. So now I'm just drawing lines. But if I sit here going, you know what, I'm going to go in here because I'm going to look at the properties on that flyout, I am never going to draw a circular lot line. Somebody might want me to do it, but I ain't going to do it. Got ellipses, no rays. I will never draw a spline lot line. Okay, people? Let's all say that together. No spline lot lines. Thank you. Biggest tech issue I've ever got is when someone uses splines. I know it looks pretty along the river or the lake, but it's a pain in the butt to edit, okay? So now, once I go ahead and do that, when I come up here, see, I've only got lines, arcs, and polylines. So I can pick, maybe I do want to just do a quick and dirty little arc right there. Okay? And I can do the same thing. Notice the last application I used, that stays right up there in that icon. Okay, so those are lines. And as we know, lines are very important to what we do. I'm working with you guys. What you do. But the other important thing are blocks, right? So I'm going to go ahead and click on this block right here and drag it over. That's my parcel area. And I think I've got, this one here. Yeah, we'll grab that and drag it over. Now, let me show you a little bit about this. Because if I look at the properties here, what this is doing is it's saying it's going to this folder to find this drawing and get this block out of that drawing. Now, this is for demonstration purposes only. Do not do this at home. What you want to do is make sure that this is pointing to a standard drawing on your network that everyone has access to. Do not point it to the drive, to your C drive, the drawing on your C drive, because the other guy's going to try to use it and it ain't going to find it. Okay? So go ahead and make sure that you do this on the network. This does point to a specific DWG. So I'll go ahead and say OK. And now all I have to do to bring in another parcel area is just drag and drop. Say OK. Oops. I've got some scaling issue that I've got to deal with. One of that units. I believe that's what I need to do. There we go. Once I do that, of course, that's an attribute of block. It brings up the attribute dialog box. We go ahead and enter the information in. Okay? And bada bing, bada boom, away we go. Oops, click where I want it to go. And another attribute block. So it's that quick and easy to go ahead and create a tool palette that will let you create your drawings a whole lot quicker, a whole lot more efficiently. Is that interesting?
Yes.
Very interesting. Right. It's a lot of fun. I'm sorry, guys. I'm honest. So I've got to tell you the truth. One of the issues that you'll deal with, and Sashi will probably back me up on this, is that little scale thing that I had. The problem is that AutoCAD enhanced the software. That said in quotes. What they did is, what you don't understand, if you've never seen this little units option right here, this little units guy is really a very, very cool thing if you're dealing with stuff and you know what it is. What it does is it allows you to create a drawing where you say, well, my drawing units are going to be inches or feet or maybe even metric. And then you can drag that drawing, that block, into another drawing where the drawing units are, you know, say it's centimeters and you're drawing it into one that's inches, it'll automatically scale the data up or down to fit. Very cool. Except if you didn't get your drawing set up in the first place, most of us are playing havoc trying to get our 2006 icons or blocks to work right because it's coming in 12 sizes too small or vice versa. So just keep that in mind. And if some of you, you're cadastral mappers, you're used to mapping land, if maybe you're doing something in astronomical units or maybe light years, remember, we've got that too. So don't worry about it. You get that legal description that says 16 light years in a bearing of, you know, South 45, you know, we can do it. That's really cool. Okay, so what we can do here is we go ahead and create this. But the issue is that I'm going ahead and dragging these out of this drawing and putting them there, right? And most of us have like a folder with a whole bunch of DWGs in it, more than likely. Correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because none of you guys are using 2000 the way they intended it to be. But that's okay. AutoCAD gives us the ability to do things the way we want to do it. But there's this nifty little utility that came out in 2000, something I like to call the Design Center. Has anybody seen the Design Center?
No.
No? The Design Center is this really, really cool tool, came out in 2000, that allows us to do things. Where did that data cal mapping? That allows us to. Hey, I remember my alphabet. There we go, cal mapping. Look at a drawing and see how we've got this stuff. We've got blocks, dimension styles, layers, layouts, line types, tables, text styles, and everything. This allows us to. Let me open up another drawing. I don't even know what drawings I have on this computer. Let's go to the Bob folder. Nope. Okay, I think I've got a, here's a drawing here, and it's got layers on it. Now, it's got a layer called dog, and I'm going to check this drawing, and I don't see any layer called dog there. So I can grab the layer called dog and drag it into this drawing, and now I have that layer called dog at the color and the line type and so on and so forth that I want, that I need for it. So what Autodesk originally wanted you to do with 2000 was use this Design Center to create a standard drawing. And when you opened up a new drawing, you could go out and say, oh, let me bring this layer in, bring that layer in, bring this block in. Now, a lot of us would say, hey, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and create a template drawing that has all of my layers, all 300 of them, all of my line types, all of my blocks and everything in it, and you maybe only use half of that stuff. And you've got to sift through all of your layers. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is driving me crazy. What this gave you the ability to do was have that one standard drawing so everyone, when they needed it, they could go grab it. And guess what? The layer names are always spelled right. Interesting concept, I know. So you could drag those in there and it would have that information brought into the drawing, again, with the right layer name, the right color, the right line type, all of that there. And that's where the Design Center first got started, hoping that people would start taking that and using that. But it isn't just layers, it's also blocks, so all the blocks in that particular drawing. You could drag in there all the dimension styles. Now, I don't know, you guys probably don't have this issue, but if you've ever had a dimension style in one drawing and you wanted it in another, you could very easily with Design Center just go drag it and drop it into your new drawing. Similarly with layouts, line types, table styles, textiles, so on and so forth. So that's what the Design Center was set up for. But now we've got the Tool Palette, which is the step up from the Design Center. And what I'm going to do is, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of us have folders with a whole bunch of drawings in them. Drawings of blocks, right? And we want to put them into a Tool Palette. So I'm going to come over here, and I've got this folder called Course, which was an old training folder with a bunch of DWGs in it. And let's just pretend that that's our blocks folder. I'm going to right click on that and say create a tool palette of my blocks, please. I should really do this with one that has less drawings, but you know, that would require me to set something up. You know, I'm allergic to work, so that's why I do AutoCAD, because I don't like to work. Anyway, so here we go. These are all of the blocks, or drawings, if you will, in that folder. Oh, come on, give it up, people. That was cool. That's a block library right there. Okay? So you can go ahead, and now you've got them there, and I'll just go ahead and close my Design Center. And this isn't going to scale right, but I'll just show you. You just drag and drop it in there. Where'd it go? Way up there. So that's how you go ahead and set up a block library using the tool palettes. Now, the new features in the 2006, as far as tool palettes are concerned, is they give you this capability of adding separators, so you can separate your tool palettes, and also adding text. Spell. So we've got a heading for a segment. So you can get more organized in that regard. Okay? Now, one of the things that we can do, and by the way, let me just give you a little. This came out in 2000, I guess it was originally 2004, the ability to have these floating dialogue boxes. And as you see, you ever notice that when you need to draw something, it's always right where the toolbar dialog box is? So what we can do is we can click on this little double arrow thing there, and when I'm not using it, it rolls up. When I do need to use it, I'm not clicking, I'm just moving my mouse to it and away from it. And so it'll go ahead and roll it up or unroll it for what I need it to do. So you can have a bunch of those over here like that and just roll over and get them up. We can create a whole series of subdivisions of tool palettes, so we can have one, you know, that's just parcels and lot lines, one that could be, you know, if other people are using your software, you know, engineering stuff and so on. So you can really segment these tool palettes up into really useful functional applications. And you can also add toolbar buttons to them in turn. So you can put toolbar buttons into your tool palette. What they'd really like to see is getting rid of all of these toolbars and having nothing but tool palettes. That would give you a whole lot more space. Now, just so you know, as far as these things are concerned, is we can go ahead and make these transparent. So if I go to, do you see that zoom? I'm getting scared. It's too close to Halloween for that. Okay. Did you see that nice little zoom feature? They added that. It's kind of a cartoony type thing. It's kind of fun. If you've got nothing else to do, just, you know, so you can go, whoa, look at that. That's fun. You know, I like to do that kind of stuff, you know. So with the 2006, we've got some more functionality with the tool palettes. If you've got 2004, 2005, 2004 will allow you to add blocks. It won't let you do the lines and so on. 2005 lets you throw the line types in there and get that going. So that just makes it that much funner and easier for you to do your job. Let me see, what else is new in 2006 that you need to be made aware of? Oh yeah, this. And this is strictly done
I have no command line. Can we draw without a command line? Yes, we can. Just type in the command and start problems. Type in the right letter. And close. Let me turn on. We've got this little button here called dynamic. And when I turn that on now, when I start a line, it throws that information up for me. And it's all customizable. It lets me put everything in. Notice I don't have a command line, but if I down arrow, I'll see all of the options that I have as if I had my command line. So how many of the people does that really scare? It is very interesting in that once you get a little used to it, you start seeing things right in front of you. You don't have to look down to the command line. It's right here for you. And so you can see everything that you're doing. And here's a nifty one. Let me do this. Let me just zoom up a little bit. I think it might be better that way. I draw this line. See, everyone knows about direct distance drafting, that you can type a number in, like the number 2, and it draws that line that distance, right? Right?
Right.
Okay, good. Now, what I'm going to do is I can move my mouse around. I'm going to type in another number, let's say 2.5, but instead of hitting enter, I'm going to hit the tab key. And now it lets me move my line around to get it just the way I want it. Now notice that area is grayed out there, so I can actually type in that bearing too. So that's 4321. Let's do a 2345. And so I can do it that way too. You can move it around, you can type it in, so on and so forth. So that's some of the new dynamic stuff. And let me just show you, it's just this little DYN button at the bottom of the screen that I can right click and go to settings. And in here, again, this is where we tell it how our pointer's going to be, what kind of prompts we're going to have, what colors we're going to use, so on and so forth. So you can get a little more. Here we can use our Cartesian format for our next point. Go ahead and say OK. Let's see how that works out. Do a line. Oops, too big. And then if we go to, let's see, this is what we're used to seeing, right? Format units. Look better? Yeah, that's more like the real world, huh? There we go. So we can go ahead and again, you type in the distance you want the line to be, hit the tab key, and now we can move it around or type in the angle that we want it to go into. So no longer at this angle, that type stuff. How many have been doing that? How many remember that? Yeah, pain. Okay, now that being said, there is a whole other scenario there with the Autodesk map that I showed last year, but you probably forgot about it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start drawing a line again. And before I go to my next point, I'm going to type in the apostrophe BD, stands for bearing and distance. And what it does is it asks me for what quadrant I want this to be. So this will be in the northeast quadrant. Then it asks for my bearing, and this might be a good time to turn off the DYN. Now it's asking for my bearing, and I can type in the bearing. Let's see if it'll work. It's supposed to work this way. If I do 36.2343, enter. Yeah, there we go. And then the distance that I want the line segment to be, this is a small line, we'll go 10 units. And there. And so I can keep going along this way, putting in my bearings and distances graphically too. By the way, how do we get our command line back? Control 9. we'll bring the command line back. So if nothing else, it's kind of fun to go to your buddy's computer and turn his command line off. I didn't say that out loud. You cannot hold me responsible for that. Let's see. Now, you guys don't really get into any hatching or anything, do you?
Yes.
Let me see. Well, let me just throw a quick rectangle here. And darn, I got rid of that one. But let me go back to my tail mapping. I'm just going to go ahead and add a hatch. And I'll just use your standard solid fill hatch because I don't have to worry about scale with that. That looks good. Change its color. Now, again, I can go ahead and left click and drag this over here so that when I create another polyline, and this is all right-click functionality, then I can just drag and hatch. I'm supposed to drag and hatch. There we go. Okay, so we can just very quickly just, if you've got the hatch patterns that you need, you can put them in your tool palette and allow you to just drag them and drop them into the polygons that you need. And of course, these are... they're not associative. I guess I didn't tell it to make it associative. Have to work on that. Okay, and just a little, another part of the map utility is I'm going to go ahead and throw an arc in here too. That one of the utilities under map is the inquiry command where I can click on my line and arc information and it'll give me the arc information and the line data, giving me bearing and distance, core, tangent, course, delta, radius, so on and so forth. So if you get drawings from a client and you need to figure out what that is, you can just click on it and find out, get all that information at the command line. Okay. Well, I think that's about all I've got to show you for right now. We really weren't prepared to put something together today. Didn't know we were going to be doing that. But, hey, hope you enjoyed what you saw. Do you have any other questions?
No, thank you.
Tim, right? Is a little quick extra here from HP.
Sani Hussaini. I'm with a company called Source Graphics.
We're located right here in Anaheim, and we're kind of unique in the sense we specialize in wide format printing and plotting solutions. We've been in business for about 15 years, so I just want to take a few minutes to introduce our company to you. Just real quickly, I'll talk a little bit about Source Graphics, what Nation Pro Business is, and talk about a couple of GIS plotting issues that come to our attention from time to time and how we address those. And then basically answer the questions you might have. You know what? I'm going to put this down. So we've been in business since 1989. We're located in Anaheim. Our office is actually close to Anaheim Hills, between where the 91 and the 55 freeways meet. We're a value-added reseller of computer graphics equipment, primarily specializing in large format systems. So that includes large format engineering scanners, copiers, plotters, hybrid systems, software, supplies, and service. We're an HP premier partner. And within HP product families, the designed family is what we specialize in, which is the plotting systems. HP has different certifications for their partners, starting from just a regular reseller all the way up to VIP Premier. And to be a VIP Premier, you have to have a service organization, you have to have a certain sales volume, you have to have customer satisfaction surveys turned in. You also have to have a certified software application engineer on staff trained by HP in printing issues. And we meet all those criteria. So we're one of the few companies in this region that's actually a premier for HP. And of course, we have extensive showrooms. So if any of you are ever thinking of possibly upgrading your systems, changing, or just wanted to see what's the latest and greatest in wide format printing technology, give us a jingle, come on over, bring your files, we'll print them out, you can see what's the latest and greatest. Get a chance to test the equipment and see for yourself how it performs. Our specialization is in the GIS, CAD, and imaging markets. We are an ESRI business partner as well. In terms of hardware, the manufacturers we represent, of course, in the GIS arena, the most popular wide format output device is Hewlett Packard. Pretty much most everybody in this room is probably using an HP. But as you can see from the slide, we also represent some of the other manufacturers, including Osei, Kip, Xerox, what have you. So our approach is this. We represent a lot of different manufacturers. We service all the equipment. So we have real-time experience with what works in the field for what application. And frankly speaking, our loyalty is always to our customers. While we represent a whole menu of manufacturers, what we do is we try to ascertain what is important to you, what is it that you're trying to accomplish, what is the problem you're trying to solve. In some situations, it might be an HP plotter. Other situations, it might not be an HP plotter. And we have examples of that. And some of you might be in that situation where you're using a particular kind of brand in one department and something else elsewhere. So we can certainly address that and assist you with that. The software companies we represent, we're one of the fastest growing ESRI business partners in this region. We represent ESRI, and I know some of you in this office and this area are using it, as well as some of the other products such as raster vector conversion tools from GTX, imaging, viewing applications from Spicer, and so on and so forth. Onyx is one that I want to talk about for a second, just after we go through here. City of LA, County of LA are our big customers. We maintain all the plotters for the City of Los Angeles. We maintain pretty much most of all the plotters for the County of LA. And we're a master agreement vendor. We also are DGS certified for the State of California and a federal government supplier. So if any of you are with those agencies, require special government pricing, or just need to explore that, by all means give us a call and we'll be glad to address that. So I already touched base on some of these things, but the main value proposition we have for GIS customers are the following. First off, we're a small organization. We're less than 20 people, but between all of us, we have a lot of experience in this industry, so at least 59 years of experience that we bring to the table. And it's all in one area, which is wide format printing and plotting. We represent the best of the companies with the highest level of certifications. So case in point, with HP, we are HP's ASP, Authorized Service Delivery Partner. In our region, if you were to buy an HP and you had a problem,
and you call HP or 300 HP, oftentimes they'll call, will be routed to Source Graphics, and our service engineers are dispatched out to fix it. So that's the level of relationship we have there. We have a proven track record. We do have a showroom. I already touched on that. We do offer credit for trade-in of older systems. Some of you might be using some of the older HPs, like the designed as 750s or 650s and things like that. And as you look at some of the newer technologies out here, you can see there's a tremendous throughput improvement just on the performance. So we do have a capability where we'll come in there, we'll deinstall the equipment, we'll take it away, put the new equipment in its place, and so on and so forth. And we do everything from start to finish. Supplies, service, installation, what have you. Now, one of the things that comes up with the GIS customers, and I want to touch on this a little bit, is the file sizes are getting progressively bigger, right? You're getting satellite images, you're getting aerial images, the file sizes are getting really big. This tends to become a problem for folks who are doing drawings other than just CAD type of drawings, right? Because the file sizes are really big. We get calls like this, hey, I'm sending a file over, it's too big, it just sits there, I can see my plotter just sitting there cranking, nothing happens. What's up with that, okay? The problem in those situations is you're making unsuccessful attempts repeatedly, you're late for a project, you want to get the work done. And the way some users have tried to tackle this, they start throwing more horsepower at the workstation level or starting to buy more plotters so they can set up different queues and go like that. One of the easiest ways to resolve this kind of a problem is with a software program from a company called Onyx. And I don't know if I have it. It's a RIP software program. How many of you in this room are familiar with RIP software? We have one. What kind of RIP are you using right now?
I've used it for quite a while. But
is it Onyx or is it Archpress or what are you using?
I'm
sorry?
That's quite a few years ago.
Okay. I'm not that familiar with that particular one. RIP software basically allows you to pre-process the files on your workstation or your server and change it to machine-readable language. So you can send it a PostScript file, you can send it a PDF, you can send it Mr. Sid or a mapper, different formats. It also allows you to take a point and pile it up, make it as big as you want, essentially, and do color corrections to it. So that's what a RIP application will typically do. And we represent Onyx. For those of you who are not familiar with Onyx, they're the world's largest manufacturer and developer of RIP software. They've been in business for 25 years. They're based out of Utah. And their software is the de facto standard for imaging applications. Now, what we're finding is in areas where there's a lot of GIS printing going on and there are big files that you need to print, where throughput is an issue, where the file size is an issue, Onyx is a good solution to solve that. We have many customers at the City of LA and the County of LA that are using it, and they seem to be very happy with it. So the first benefit of Onyx, the way Onyx works is basically it sits on your workstation or your server. It's a virtual printer. So when you go file print, you'll see the icon for Onyx. You just click on that and the file just goes. So you don't have to do anything beyond that. It's transparent to you. It's no different than printing to a design jet. The only thing it's doing is taking the file and processing it on a server for you, okay? And its main benefit is that it goes very, very fast. So speed is the number one thing that you buy. Is if you have a lot of files and you're trying to process them and print them, the speed issues are easily solved with Onyx. We did a benchmark at the ESRI show in July down in San Diego, where we used a file which was 1 gigabyte, printed it to a 5500 with onboard PostScript RIP. It took almost 1 hour. And that same file, we use it running through Onyx, 7 minutes. It's a huge, huge throughput difference. Once you rip it, you can save the file, you can print it as many times as you want. There's no processing after that, okay? So I'm just going through over some of this stuff. If this is ever an issue for you folks, if you feel like, hey, you know what, would like to explore this, by all means, bring your files over, send them over, come over, whatever your preference is. We are in Southern California. I presume most of you are from this region, and we'd be glad to do a benchmark for you. You can see for yourself. The software itself starts around $29.95 for a poster shop XC. It will drive multiple machines. So if you have multiple 5500s, it'll drive multiple 5500s, or 5500s and 1050s, or 5500s and 5000s, whatever combination you have. And you can add more printers to the queue.
There's another inexpensive software solution there, which is $1,195, very inexpensive. And it's a lot less expensive than going out there and buying PostScript machines. Okay, so that's another solution for you. And this is basically all the information I have. So if you have any questions, I'm here with Todd, and I'll be glad to answer them. There's some information on source graphics. If you folks would like to pick it up, it's right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Todd, sure to check them out. They've kind enough to come down here and set up, got some literature, and check out the new plotter there. Looks like it's quite the machine. Okay, just arriving, flying in this morning. Next up, here we go. From the State Board of Equalization, Tax Area Services, Ralph Davis, Research Analyst, is going to tell us what's happening in Sacramento.
Oh my, he's got materials.
Uh-oh.
We're Sacramento's way ahead on the technology curve.